When you walk past a massive skyscraper while it's being built, it just looks like absolute
Oh,
chaos.
yeah, complete mess.
Right, it's a mess of steel scaffolding, sparks flying everywhere, loud noises, and just like endless friction.
Definitely.
But eventually, that scaffolding comes down and you're left looking at this sleek, seamless tower of glass.
Exactly. And we tend to look at our devices and our digital networks the exact same way. We just expect seamless magic.
Yeah, but today we are looking straight at the scaffolding of our technological future. And let me tell you, it is a very noisy construction site.
It really is.
Okay, let's unpack this because we are taking a deep dive into a stack of stories from the Tech and Morning newsletter. This is the one dated Monday, July 6, 2026.
Right.
Our mission for you today is to really understand the intense growing pains happening right now in the industry.
Yeah, the friction points are everywhere.
Exactly. We are talking about severe physical limitations in manufacturing tomorrow's hardware, an urgent, multi-trillion-dollar need to overhaul our digital infrastructure, and some truly terrifying invisible security threats.
Security threats lurking right inside our AI and
Yeah,
cryptography systems. Yeah.
it's wild. But I want to start with the physical world today. Because as much as we talk about the cloud, someone still has to build the actual devices in our pockets.
Right. And that
Right?
is often the hardest place to innovate.
Yeah.
Well, for all our digital progress over the last decade, bending atoms is still fundamentally much more difficult than bending bits.
That makes sense.
And honestly, nobody is feeling that friction more acutely right now than Apple.
Yeah, I was reading through the supply chain report on the iPhone Ultra, and honestly, the numbers looked like a typo.
They really do.
For those of you who haven't been following the rumors, this is Apple's long-awaited, roughly 8-inch foldable smartphone. Everyone expects them to unveil it this September. But according to Ming-Chi Kuo, the analyst who basically has a crystal ball for Apple's supply chain, they are hitting a massive wall.
A huge wall.
So how bad is the production bottleneck here?
It is stark, especially when you consider the sheer scale Apple usually operates at.
Right.
According to Kuo's Q3 2026 report, Apple is only going to be able to produce somewhere between 500,000 and 1 million units of the Ultra in the third quarter.
Wait, let me just jump in to give you a sense of scale on that. In that exact same Q3 timeframe, Apple is on track to pump out 20 to 22 million iPhone 18 Pros.
Exactly.
So we're talking about a
Yes. To make a foldable display at Apple's required scale, you have to engineer a screen that can withstand hundreds of thousands of folds without any degradation.
Which sounds impossible.
It's incredibly hard. You're dealing with ultra-thin glass layered with polymers and these intricate micro-engineered hinge mechanisms that had to keep dust out completely.
And I imagine the supply chain for that is pretty specialized.
It is. Every single specialized part requires a supply chain that simply isn't fully mature yet.
It's like Apple is inviting the whole world to a revolutionary new five-star restaurant, but they only have one table available in the entire building.
That is a perfect way to put it.
And the economics of that scarcity are wild. The official retail price is expected to be around $2,000, right?
Correct.
But industry analysts are already predicting that black market scalpers will push the price of those early, highly coveted units up to $2,500 or even $3,000.
Yeah, it creates an incredible aura of exclusivity, certainly. But operationally, it is a massive headache for them.
Which brings up a strategic question for you. We saw Apple deal with production delays back in 2017 with the iPhone X launch. But this, I don't know, this feels different.
It is different.
Because competitors like Samsung have the Galaxy Z Fold 6 out right now for $1,799.
Right.
Google has the Pixel Fold 2 for $1,699, and those are widely available today. Samsung is literally on its sixth generation of foldables.
They've had years to refine it.
Exactly. So is this manufactured scarcity a brilliant marketing tactic by Apple to make the Ultra the ultimate status symbol, or are they genuinely losing ground because they can't figure out the hardware?
It is almost certainly the latter,
Yeah.
and it's driven by their own internal standards.
Interesting.
Yeah, Apple is not creating this scarcity on purpose. They are constrained by physics and their own legendary quality assurance.
So the QA is holding them back.
Well, their QA process is a double-edged sword here. They simply refuse to ship a subpar hinge or a screen that develops a visible crease after a month of use.
Right, because that would ruin the brand.
Exactly. But holding to that standard slows down the production line immensely, when the technology is this new. Mm-hmm. And to your point, it introduces a severe strategic risk.
Because people will just buy the Samsung.
Right. Frustrated customers who really want a foldable device might just turn to Samsung or Google. Ironically, Apple's uncompromising quality control might actually cost them significant market share in this new form factor.
It's just wild that the physical friction of bending atoms is holding a giant like Apple back. We usually assume the digital world is like friction-free by comparison.
We do, yeah.
But looking at the digital economy side of this newsletter, it seems like our financial infrastructure is hitting an equally massive bottleneck just trying to process data.
The contrast is truly striking. You have hardware supply chains choking on physical constraints, but then the blockchain space is undergoing this frantic, multi-trillion dollar rewiring just to handle unprecedented digital volume.
And the volume numbers in this report are staggering. Let's look at stablecoins for a second. For you listening, these are cryptocurrencies pegged to the U.S. dollar, like USDT, USDC, and DAI.
Right, the digital dollars.
In June 2026, they hit a record $1.79 trillion in monthly transaction volume.
Just massive.
Just to ground that number for you, Visa's entire processing volume for the first quarter of 2026 was $3.5 trillion. So stablecoins did about half of Visa's entire quarterly volume in a single month.
Which completely validates the thesis of the technology.
Oh, absolutely.
It proves that the demand for 247 cross-border digital settlement is no longer just a theoretical white paper. It is here.
Yeah.
And for the companies issuing these tokens, it is an incredibly lucrative business model.
Oh, the business model is brilliant. If you are a stablecoin issuer and you have $100 billion in circulation, you take that $100 billion in real-world cash, put it into 5% treasury bills, and you are suddenly generating $5 billion in annual revenue just for providing the software infrastructure.
It's essentially free money for them at that scale.
Yeah. But the infrastructure itself is buckling under this weight, right? Which brings us to Vitalik Buterin and Ethereum's new lean roadmap.
Yes, and this is a monumental technical undertaking. It goes far deeper than Ethereum's transition to proof of stake a few years ago.
Okay.
This is a 3 to 4 year plan to completely rebuild Ethereum into the definitive settlement layer for global finance.
Here's where it gets really interesting, because they are trying to implement 4 massive pillars all at once.
Right.
They want sub-4-second transaction finality, scalability of over 100,000 transactions per second, native layer one privacy, and quantum-resistant cryptography.
It's an incredibly ambitious list.
I'm trying to wrap my head around this. How is it technologically possible to process 100,000 transactions per second without the network just completely crashing?
Well, the secret sauce making this possible is a cryptographic breakthrough called STARKS.
STARKS.
Yeah, that stands for Scalable Transparent Argument of Knowledge. To understand how they work, imagine a teacher grading a math test.
Okay, I'm with you.
Normally, the blockchain acts like a teacher who has to manually check every single step of every single student's equation to make sure nobody cheated.
Right, which takes massive computing power and time.
Exactly. What a STARK does is bundle thousands of transactions together into a single, complex mathematical proof.
Oh, wow.
It essentially hands the teacher an answer key that proves with absolute mathematical certainty that all the underlying equations are correct.
Oh, so the network only has to verify the one proof, not the thousands of individual transactions.
Precisely.
So by skipping the manual check of every single transaction, they drop the processing time to literal milliseconds.
Exactly.
And the report notes this is going to drive gas costs, you know, the fees you pay to use the network, down by 10 to 100 times.
It's a game changer for usability.
They are starting this integration in Q4 2026 and aiming to finish by 2030. It's like they are changing the jet engines on a commercial airliner while it's flying at 30,000 feet and the plane is carrying trillions of dollars.
That analogy is spot on. And if we connect this to the bigger picture, you can see exactly why this drastic overhaul is happening right now.
Because of the stablecoins.
Yes.
Yeah.
The stablecoin data proves there is massive Visa-level demand from the market. The lean roadmap is Ethereum's desperate race to build the infrastructure to support that exact demand. Major institutions, think BlackRock, JP Morgan, Goldman Sachs, they want to use this technology for settlement.
But they need it to be fast.
Right. They cannot wait 15 minutes for a transaction to finalize, and they certainly cannot risk their clients' assets on cryptography that a future quantum computer could just instantly crack.
Yeah, that would be catastrophic.
Exactly. Ethereum is rebuilding the airplane mid-flight because Wall Street is waiting on the runway, and they demand a bigger, faster, safer plane.
But, you know, building the fastest, most advanced financial network in the world is completely worthless if you leave the vault doors wide open.
Very true.
And as these digital systems scale up, the security threats outlined in the July 6th report are becoming entirely invisible.
This is the inevitable dark side of rapid innovation. As the complexity of our networks increases, the attack surfaces multiply in ways that developers simply haven't anticipated.
Well, let's talk about this IlBloom vulnerability, because it is terrifying. The cybersecurity firm CoinSpect discovered this.
Yeah, they published some alarming numbers.
Attackers have already stolen $5 million, and $3 million of that was drained on May 27th alone.
In a single day.
The report says it exploits a weakness in how crypto wallets generate random numbers, which is known as entropy, for your seed phrase. I need you to break this down.
Sure.
When I create a crypto wallet, it gives me a random list of 12 or 24 words. How does a hacker reverse engineer something that's supposed to be completely random?
To understand this, you have to understand that computers are fundamentally terrible at being unpredictable.
Really?
Yeah, they're deterministic machines. If you ask a computer to pick a random number, it has to use an algorithm to fake it.
Oh, I see.
To get true randomness, true entropy, good software will pull data from unpredictable physical events, like the exact microsecond of your mouse movements or atmospheric noise.
Okay, so it needs real-world chaos.
Exactly. The flaw with the IlBloom vulnerability is that certain early wallets used incredibly weak methods to generate that initial entropy. Maybe they just use the computer system clock. Right? So if an attacker knows you created your wallet at 2.05 p.m. on a Tuesday in 2022, and they know the exact algorithm the wallet used, they can just run a brute force calculation and recreate your exact seed phrase.
So they don't even need to hack your computer or trick you into clicking a phishing link.
Not at all.
They just do the math, generate your exact keys, and sweep your funds.
It's purely mathematical theft.
It's like a locksmith installing a billion-dollar quantum-proof titanium vault door, but they leave the master combination as 1, 2, 3, 4 because they were lazy with the math when setting up the lock.
That's exactly what happened.
And it affects Bitcoin, Ethereum, Solana, basically everything. If you have a web-based wallet from before 2024 or a mobile app you haven't updated in years, you are at extremely high risk.
Yes.
The only real fix the report suggests is migrating immediately to a hardware wallet, like a Ledger or a Trezor.
Exactly. If the mathematical foundation of your unpredictability is flawed, the entire system collapses, no matter how secure the underlying blockchain is.
Wow. And then shifting gears to artificial intelligence, we have this new threat called Skill Cloak.
This one is fascinating.
Researchers at the Hong Kong University of Science and Technology found an AI attack that evades static security scanners over 90% of the time and 95% against signature-based tools.
That's incredibly evasive.
But before we get into the attack itself, clarify something for me. The report mentions it attacks AI skills. What exactly is an AI skill in this context?
So as AI agents become more autonomous, they are built using modular pieces of code called skills. Think of them as plugins. You might give an AI agent a skill to process an Excel spreadsheet or a skill to query a specific cloud database. Skill Cloak targets these modular additions.
And it does this using something called self-extracting packing.
Right.
It acts exactly like a digital Trojan horse. The way I understand it, it wraps malicious code in a benign-looking outer layer.
Yes, that's the cloak.
So a standard static security scanner looks at the file, says, yep, looks like a harmless spreadsheet skill, and lets it right through the firewall.
Exactly.
But once the AI actually executes the skill, the malicious code unpacks itself and launches the attack.
And this raises an important question about how we design security in the modern era. Because the chilling common denominator between the IlBloom crypto hack and the SkillCloak AI virus is that our static assumptions are failing us entirely.
What do you mean by static assumptions?
Well, with crypto wallets, developers made a static assumption that the early methods of random number generation were simply good enough and wouldn't be challenged by more sophisticated brute force computing.
Right, they assumed the old math was fine.
Exactly. With AI, our static security scanners operate under the assumption that a piece of code is exactly what it looks like before it runs. They look for known signatures.
But SkillCloak hides its signature.
Right. SkillCloak proves that assumption is dead. We can no longer rely on inspecting code while it is at rest. The researchers conclude we have to shift entirely to runtime behavioral monitoring.
Runtime monitoring.
Yeah. We have to watch what the code does when it wakes up, not just look at what it is when it's asleep.
But hold on. If we are actively monitoring every single action a piece of code takes while it's running, doesn't that slow the whole system down? The report mentions a 10 to 15% performance overhead just to run these monitors.
It does. But that overhead is simply the new price of operating in a dynamically hostile environment. You sacrifice 15% of your speed to ensure you aren't inviting a Trojan horse into your server room?
Yeah, that makes sense. So if we step back and look at the whole board here, we have severe hardware constraints physically building the future. We're rebuilding the Ethereum airplane mid-flight just to handle demand. And we have invisible AI and cryptographic threats completely bypassing our digital vaults.
It's a lot of friction.
And yet, the money isn't stopping.
No, it's not.
The institutional market's appetite for all of this technology isn't slowing down at all. In fact, the smart money just snapped back into the market in a massive way. So what does this all mean?
The disconnect between the underlying technical friction we've been discussing and the financial market's relentless enthusiasm is perhaps the defining feature of this space right now.
It really is.
Let's look purely at the data for Friday, July 5th, 2026.
Right. Bitcoin exchange-traded funds, the ETFs, managed by institutional giants like BlackRock and Fidelity, saw $224 million in net inflows on that single day.
A massive reversal.
This is a huge deal because it abruptly broke a brutal 10-day streak of outflows that had drained $800 million from the market.
Yep.
Ethereum ETFs also saw $29 million in inflows. And all of this pushed the price of Bitcoin back above the psychological battleground of $63,000.
And if we look at the market mechanics behind that price action, a significant portion was driven by a short squeeze. Over $150 million in short positions were liquidated.
Wow. For you listening, if you aren't familiar with the mechanics of a short squeeze, here's how it works. When you short an asset, you borrow it to sell it immediately, hoping the price drops so you can buy it back cheaper later and pocket the difference.
Right.
But if the price suddenly spikes upward, you start bleeding money. Eventually, the exchange forces you to buy the asset back at the higher price to cover your loss.
Which just drives the price up more.
Exactly. It's like Wile E. Coyote running off a cliff. These traders were aggressively betting against Bitcoin, suddenly realized the ground was gone, panicked, and their frantic scramble to buy back their positions and get to safety ironically pushed the price even higher.
That forced buying loop really amplifies the fundamental flows. But if we connect this to the bigger picture and looking at this strictly from a data analysis perspective, not an endorsement of the asset class town, the ETF inflows themselves are the real story here.
Okay, why is that?
Why are traditional institutions pouring hundreds of millions of dollars into ETFs rather than just buying Bitcoin or Ethereum directly on a crypto exchange?
Let me guess.
It goes right back to the security threats we just unpacked.
Oh, because they want absolutely nothing to do with something like the ill-bloom vulnerability.
Precisely. Institutional funds do not want to manage seed phrases. They do not want to worry about software entropy or storing hardware wallets in physical vaults.
It's just too much risk.
Way too much. ETFs elegantly solve the custody risk by wrapping the digital asset in a traditional, highly regulated financial vehicle. BlackRock handles the underlying security headaches.
Ah, that makes perfect sense.
However, anyone analyzing this data must be cautious. A single day of heavy ETF inflows, especially when paired with a dramatic short squeeze, does not instantly confirm a new bull market.
Right, it's just one data point.
Exactly. The broader macroeconomic environment remains incredibly complex. Analysts look for sustained institutional buying over weeks, combined with highly disciplined risk management, to confirm a true trend reversal.
It's all connected. The money is flowing, the tech is scaling, and the threats are constantly evolving.
They never stop.
We've covered a massive amount of ground today. We started with the physical scarcity of tomorrow's hardware, looking at how Apple's uncompromising standards are creating a massive manufacturing bottleneck for the new iPhone Ultra.
Mm-hmm.
We explored the quantum-proof, millimeter-precise digital rails being built by Ethereum to handle Visa-level stablecoin demand. We unpacked the terrifying new frontiers of AI Trojan horses and mathematically flawed crypto wallets.
Okay.
And we saw how the relentless flow of institutional money into ETFs is driving the market forward, regardless of all that friction.
The scaffolding is certainly noisy, but the structure being built beneath it is undeniable.
Definitely. And before we go, we want to make sure you walk away with some very practical takeaways from today's sources. First, If you have a crypto wallet that you created before 2024, especially a web-based one, you need to update it or migrate to a hardware wallet immediately.
Yes, please do that.
The Illbloom threat is real, and the math doesn't care how safe you think your computer is. Second, if you are holding off on buying a new phone because you want the iPhone Ultra, you need to factor in those massive manufacturing delays.
You might be waiting till winter.
Exactly.
You know, as we look at all these moving parts, I will leave you with one final thought. Imagine the intersection of everything we just discussed today.
Okay.
What happens in the near future when a fully autonomous AI agent transacting with stablecoins on a millisecond Ethereum network gets compromised by a self-extracting skill cloak virus?
Oh, wow.
When an AI can steal digital money at the speed of light, bypassing every static defense we have, who do we even call to report the crime?
Wow. That is the reality of the scaffolding we are building right now. It's messy, it's dangerous, but it is undeniably the foundation of tomorrow. Thank you for taking this deep dive with us today. Keep questioning the scaffolding, and we'll see you next time.